Developing news tonight, Donald Trump's campaign manager arrested, charged with battery over an incident with a reporter. Police say grabbing her as she tried to ask Trump a question. Tonight, the new video as Trump goes on a tirade. Hijacked tonight, inside the drama on board a threatened plane when pilots were forced to divert passengers, including Americans held hostage by a man wearing what he said was a bomb. Cracking the code, NBC News has learned who has been helping the FBI break into the San Bernardino killer's iPhone. Blown away by tropical storm force winds, causing a major highway pileup and a deadly rooftop plunge. And remembering Patty Duke, the beloved star has died. Tonight, tributes pouring in from friends, fans, and her famous sons. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Donald Trump is standing by his man tonight, even though his man, campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, has been charged with battery against a reporter. It began as a he said, she said, when reporter Michelle Fields claimed Lewandowski manhandled her at a campaign event. He denied it and said she was delusional. But then there is the tale of the tape, and police say what they saw on that tape was real, leaving the architect of Trump's bid for the White House in hot water and bolstering concerns about the tone and climate of this campaign. NBC's Peter Alexander has details.
Police say the crime was caught on tape. This closed-circuit video, they say, shows Donald Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, grabbing former Breitbart reporter Michelle Fields after a news conference this month. Lewandowski now facing a criminal charge for battery or unwanted touching. A misdemeanor. The police report details an audio recording from Fields' iPhone that night. I can't believe he just did that, Fields says. That was so hard. Was that Corey? Lewandowski turned himself in this morning to Jupiter, Florida police and was released. His lawyers insist he's absolutely innocent. This afternoon, Trump defended his top aide.
She was running up and grabbing and asking questions, and she wasn't supposed to be doing that. And I think he should, I told him, I said, you should never settle this case. You should go all the way. I think they've really hurt a very good person.
At the time, Fields tweeted this picture of her bruised arm, tweeting, I guess these just magically appeared on me. So weird. Lewandowski denied Fields' account, calling her totally delusional, adding, I never touched you. Today, Fields and Trump going back and forth on Twitter. Trump asking, why aren't people looking at this reporter's earliest statement? Fields responding, my story never changed. Seriously, just stop lying. Aboard his jet, Trump mocked Fields and stood by Lewandowski.
I'm sticking up for a person because I'm not going to let a person's life be destroyed.
Trump's hard-charging deputies had a series of run-ins on the trail with protesters recently grabbing one man by the collar and the press, threatening to confiscate a media member's credentials if they left the assigned press area. Multiple female media members tell NBC News they've received uninvited verbal overtures from Lewandowski, describing them as suggestive and belittling. The campaign has denied such behavior, calling it baseless. In 1999, Lewandowski, then a congressional staffer, was arrested after entering a congressional office building with a loaded weapon. Ultimately, the Supreme Court denied his effort to get the gun back, but he was acquitted of any wrongdoing. Based on Florida law, if convicted, Corey Lewandowski could be sentenced up to a year in jail. But the state attorney's office here in Florida tells NBC News, for a first-time offender, that type of sentence, Lester, would be highly unusual.
All right, Peter, and as you just showed us, Trump is vowing to stand by his campaign manager. He says he does not, quote, discard people. NBC's Katie Turr has followed the Trump campaign since the very beginning. Katie, any surprise that Trump's not backing down here?
I don't think we should be surprised by this at all. Trump has given every indication that he is standing by Corey Lewandowski. Take the progression on this incident alone. First, Donald Trump said that this absolutely did not happen. Then he said there would be video to prove if it did happen. And then he said that Michelle Fields is the one that started it. It's the same sort of pushback I got from Donald Trump when I tried to ask him if there would be consequences if these allegations turned out to be true. Now the question is, will there be consequences at the voting booth here in Wisconsin? As Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski faces a battery charge,
thank you.
Donald Trump charged on, campaigning in Wisconsin today. standing by his right-hand man, just as he did in the days after the alleged incident.
So, you know, they had a lot of cameras there. I mean, if somebody went down, there'd be pictures. Everybody has pictures.
If it comes to light that something did happen, are you going to do something about it? Will there be some sort of punishment?
Supposing it comes to light that nothing happened, are you going to apologize to him for what you're doing?
Lewandowski has been by Trump's side from the start. Initially seen as a lightweight operative, the campaign aide is on the verge of leading Trump to the nomination by doing what many wouldn't, letting Trump be Trump. As such, the Never Back Down campaign is still not backing down, and neither are his supporters.
Politics is a blood sport.
NFL players get away with it all the time.
But his rivals sense an opening.
It's a very sad development, and this is the consequence of the culture of the Trump campaign.
When we see things that are very disturbing, we then take action, and I think that's what needs to be done.
The Republican hopefuls converging on Wisconsin.
Because if we win Wisconsin, it's like going to be over, pretty much over.
A wild card state. Trump has the advantage of an open primary, where anyone can change parties and same-day vote. But Ted Cruz leads polling, and today got the endorsement of Governor Scott Walker on a local radio program.
I just fundamentally believe that he is a constitutional conservative.
GOP insiders warning, if there was ever a chance to stop Trump, Wisconsin is it. Lewandowski, the charges against Lewandowski come at a particularly bad time for Donald Trump, who is facing a significant gender gap. 70% of women nationally say that they have an unfavorable view of Donald Trump. It's hard to imagine how allegations like these help that cause. As for his support here, I spoke to supporter after supporter who told me that, frankly, stuff like this just doesn't matter to them. Lester.
All right, Katie, thank you. Now that hostage crisis overseas, in which Americans were among those on board an Egypt Air flight to Cairo, hijacked by a man claiming he was wearing a bomb, he forced the pilots to divert, setting in motion a dramatic standoff that played out for hours amid everyone's worst fears, until an Egyptian official told the media, quote, he's not a terrorist, he's an idiot. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez explains and takes us inside the drama on board.
The scenario was horrifying. A commercial jet hijacked. One of its passengers pictured here on the plane with a belt he claimed was filled with explosives. The drama unfolding on Egypt Air flight MS-181. At 6:36 a.m. local time, it took off from Alexandria bound for Cairo. Authorities say the hijacker, Saifel Din Mustafa, demanded the plane be diverted to Cyprus. The world watching live, 71 other passengers on board, including 8 Americans, most soon released, walking calmly down the runway with their luggage. One of the pilots scrambled out of the cockpit window as negotiators pleaded with the hijacker to release the remaining hostages. At 2:40 local time, he surrendered, but not before taking this selfie with the passenger. That explosive belt, fake. The plane's captain saying tonight, thank God we're all safe.
For the information we have right now, this could have occurred out of many different airports all throughout the world.
Surveillance video showing the suspect passing straight through security. The incident dealing a new blow to Egypt's aviation system 6 months after ISIS claimed it brought down this Russian jet. Tonight, authorities say this hijacker's motive is unclear, but at one point he demanded to speak with his ex-wife, who lives in Cyprus.
It's not something which has to do with terrorism.
A bizarre high-stakes hoax with the world watching. The hijacker is due in court here tomorrow. As for the passengers, no one was injured, and most were flown to Cairo just a short time ago. Lester?
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. The mystery may be solved over the events that led the FBI to drop its legal action against Apple. It appears that investigators turned overseas for help hacking into an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino attackers without Apple's assistance. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has more.
4 months after the San Bernardino terror attack, investigators finally have access to the work cell phone of gunman Syed Farouk. According to industry sources, the FBI has been getting help from this Israeli company, Cellebrite, experts in mobile forensics with tools to extract and decode data from the iPhone 5C. The Justice Department now dropping its court case against Apple.
It's not just about this one phone, it's about everyone's phones. This is the processor.
Daniel Gilmore, a tech expert with the ACLU, says many knowledgeable hackers could have gained access.
If someone has physical access to a device and they have an unlimited amount of time and money, then they will get to the data that's on that device.
Gilmore says the FBI was trying to set precedent by going public, taking Apple to court. Across the country, law enforcement has hundreds of cases from crimes where investigators desperately want access inside locked smartphones. Apple says the company will continue to work with investigators, but people around the world deserve data protection, security, and privacy. The FBI Assistant Director in Charge, David Bowditch, says, I am satisfied that we have access to more answers than we did before.
The FBI has now shown that there's a way of getting in, and that will make people feel insecure.
Tonight, it's unclear what information, if any, will come from Syed Farouk's iPhone, and whether the FBI will now tell Apple how it hacked it, so the tech giant can make the rest of their devices, used by hundreds of millions of us, more secure. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Tonight we have the first major tie at the Supreme Court since the death of Justice Scalia, a case presenting a big challenge to the power of unions for public employees. And it comes as President Obama's nominee to fill the court vacancy was meeting a Republican senator. Our justice correspondent Pete Williams is at the court to tell us more. Pete?
Lester, the tie is a big boost for unions representing millions of the nation's public employees, teachers, nurses, firefighters, police in roughly half the states. A group of California teachers challenged the requirement that public employees who don't want to join a union still have to pay a share of union dues to cover the cost of negotiating contracts. But the tie leaves a lower court ruling in place in favor of the unions. And tonight, a sign of another possible tie, the Supreme Court ordered lawyers in the Obamacare case to address a possible compromise. It would give contraceptive coverage to employees of religiously affiliated groups without making the groups complicit in providing it. And Merrick Garland, nominated to succeed Justice Scalia, had his first meeting today with a Republican senator, Mark Kirk of Illinois, Garland's home state. Lester?
Pete Williams, thank you. Emergency evacuations tonight of Americans overseas. The State Department and Pentagon are ordering the families of U.S. diplomats and military personnel to leave posts in southern Turkey because of increased terror threats. The move affects hundreds of families of Americans assigned to Incirlik Air Base, a major base in the war against ISIS. There are new fears in Pakistan after that deadly Easter terror attack on a busy playground. Families speaking out, concerned that police there aren't prepared to prevent another one. Most of the 72 victims killed were children. Many others were injured. Our Bill Neely goes inside the hospital where young survivors fight to recover.
Three-year-old Shabazz, burned by the bomb blast, is brave beyond his years. What he doesn't know is both his parents were killed. This is a hospital of heartbreak.
This ward is absolutely crammed with children and adults. The youngest child here, just 18 months old.
Hardest of all to understand is that they were deliberately targeted. The bomber chose a fun park full of children and Christians celebrating Easter. The park is a crime scene now. Children's shoes and bags left behind.
Today the park is filled only with blood trails and broken glass. But when the bomb exploded, this was packed with excited children, queuing for tickets, ready to ride. But in among them, right there, was a suicide bomber.
Taliban! Protests at the Taliban today, and in Christian neighborhoods, fear.
My children are not safe. We are not safe.
Thousands of suspects were rounded up across Pakistan today, but no one charged with this massacre of the innocents. Bill Neely, NBC News, Lahore.
Innocence in a war even the grown-ups don't quite understand. Still ahead tonight, we'll talk about the silent disease affecting 1 in 10 women. It's already known to cause pregnancy problems. Now a new warning about its hidden heart risks for younger women. Also, tropical storm force blinding dust storms, a 15-car pileup, and the danger from powerful winds isn't over yet. There's a new warning about a disease that affects millions of women in the U.S. Doctors have long known that endometriosis can cause difficulties with pregnancy. Now, a first-of-its-kind study has found that it can also greatly increase the risk of heart disease in younger women. We get details from NBC's Morgan Radford.
Lena, right here, please.
High-profile women like actress Lena Dunham and Padma Lakshmi. Speaking out about a disease that so many women have.
Jenny is about to give me a shot.
And so few are talking about.
I have endometriosis, and this drug, Lupron, helps me to feel great on a day-to-day basis.
Endometriosis affects 1 in 10 women. It's abnormal tissue growth that can cause intense pain and infertility. And tonight, a new risk, heart disease. Doctors found that women under 40 who have endometriosis have a 200% increased risk of developing a heart attack, chest pain, or blocked arteries.
We don't think that it's a coincidence. We know that women with endometriosis have systemic inflammation.
Inflammation that could extend to the heart.
I've had 6 surgeries, starting when I was 12.
So you've been dealing with this since you were 12 years old?
Yes. They talk about symptoms. And
Jill Fiersick and Jordan Davidson founded a support group for women with the disease.
Were you surprised to find out about the possible connection between heart disease and endometriosis?
I wasn't really. Many people look at it as a reproductive illness, but it affects so many different areas of the body.
And while there is no cure, doctors say a low-carb, low-sugar diet, 30 minutes of physical activity, and maintaining a healthy weight can not only reduce symptoms, but can also protect your heart.
I try and eat well. I don't smoke. Hopefully, you know, my heart will be healthy for as long as physically possible.
Today's discovery, yet another reason to bring this hidden disease out into the open.
Serious end of stuff.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
Some 30 million people are on high alert in the plains and the south for a major storm system taking aim tomorrow. Once again, the biggest threat will likely be from damaging winds, which have blown through cities with tropical storm level force from coast to coast. We get more on that from NBC's Gadi Schwartz.
Across the country, the last of the winter wind blowing with a vengeance. In California, dust storms swallowing cars and trucks. Fire crews tweeting out this picture of the back end of a 15-car pileup outside Lucerne Valley. The video showing emergency responders disappearing behind the dust. 28 people hurt, all expected to survive. Gale force winds also slamming Las Vegas.
This is the worst I've seen it here in Vegas.
While 3 million people in the southwest are under high wind warnings in dry conditions. Dust storms blanketing desert roads with zero visibility. New Mexico winds picking up and expected to fuel a forest fire burning near the town of Ruidoso. And back east in the tri-state area, blistering wind knocking down trees and crushing cars. In New Jersey, a tragedy. A man found dead after he went up a 7-story rooftop to check on wind damage and may have been blown off the building. Coast to coast, dangerous, now deadly winds promising more severe weather this week. Gadi Schwartz, NBC News.
We come back remembering Patty Duke, a legendary star of stage and screen, gone. This evening, tributes are pouring in from Hollywood and far beyond after the sad news today of the death of Patty Duke, the beloved child star who went on to a decades-long legendary career on stage and screen, winning an Oscar, serving as president of the Screen Actors Guild, and going public with her very personal battle and helping so many others. Her family says she passed away early this morning at the age of 69. NBC's Cynthia McFadden looks back.
Meet Kathy, who lived most everywhere.
If you were a television fan in the 1960s, the theme of the Patty Duke Show is sure to bring a smile.
What a crazy pair. But they're cousins. Identical cousins all the way.
She said not long ago that people still approach her in airports and sing the whole thing. Her first starring role had come at the age of 12, dazzling Broadway as Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker. 4 years later, she won the Academy Award for her film portrayal of the blind girl. At the time, the youngest person to ever win. It is the story that defined her career. In her 30s, she took on the role of Keller's teacher, Annie Sullivan, for television.
How bright she is!
This time winning an Emmy. She married 4 times, most famously to John Astin, who played Gomez on The Addams Family. They raised 2 sons. Both became actors. But she says the love of her life was her husband of the last 30 years, Michael Pierce, with whom she adopted a son. While they were together, she wrote an autobiography about her struggles as a child and her battle with bipolar disease. the first celebrity to go public with that diagnosis, she became a powerful advocate for others with mental illness.
I can now kind of look back from the grandma chair and say, it's a good life.
Playing many starring roles in one lifetime. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
And that will do it for us on a Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.